As an educational supplement to the subscribers of the RRP, this is Michael Neff at WGY in Schenectady, New York, with everything you've ever wanted to know about radio station jingles.
The best sound in town on radio, KSTT 1170. Exciting listening, take your cue for music and news designed just for you. It's KSTT Davenport, Twin Cities, USA.
Yes, the complex subject of jingle imagery. Remembering where the industry has been.
You've always got a friend, so feel at home with the new WCOL.
To where we are today.
Hear the summer excitement in Rockefeller Center.
66 WNBC.
Well, for those of you who really care, radio station jingles were born in Dallas, Texas, in the late 1940s. And to further explain about this unique hobby of mine, which many people do take seriously in the industry as sparking the creativity and overall sound of radio today and in yesteryear, I spoke with John Wolfert, who is the president of Jam Creative Productions of Dallas. Why Dallas? Out of all the places to begin the music recording industry for radio and television, why Big D?
The first real use of radio jingles happened in, I believe it was 1947, and it was here in Dallas that a local station here called KLIF had a lot of programs with live orchestras and live bands and what have you. And they had long since gotten into the habit of doing jingles for their sponsors, but nobody had really thought of doing a jingle for the station itself. And supposedly, now I wasn't there at the time, so I can't be an eyewitness, but the story has been handed down through the years, that two gentlemen who were employed by KLIF decided that it would be a neat idea to actually sing something about the station. And so they wrote a little jingle about the radio station, and it was performed, and it met with great success. And those two guys later went on to found two of the larger jingle companies, that one of which is still with us and one of which is not. But they caught on very early in the game to what a successful thing that could be for a station. And it was just pure coincidence that they happened to be in Dallas. But since they were here, they built their businesses here, and a strange thing started happening, because when they first started doing jingles in the early 50s, naturally there wasn't enough business to keep singers employed on a full-time basis. So you would find singers would do the sessions at night or on the weekends in addition to their other jobs. It was just like moonlighting for them. But they started getting better and better, and with the experience, the singers started to gain expertise. And before long, a lot of stations all over the country wanted to have jingles, so they came to these people in Dallas that specialized in doing it. And before too long, the singers found that they could make a living just by singing the jingles. So a lot of them blew off their other occupations, and they really enjoyed the singing. And then what happened was, since there was all these professional singers in Dallas, other people who wanted to get into the jingle business came to Dallas because that was the place where it was happening. It's kind of like if you want to build cars, you would probably go to Detroit. Well, if you want to build jingles, you come to Dallas.
Well, the history of the jingle is probably inevitable. You know, radio evolving itself. But what's the big deal? Yeah, I know what you're thinking.
Who's this guy trying to kid? You've heard one jingle, you've heard them all.
1590 WAKR. For young people of all ages.
In Omaha. KFAB.
Parkland, you're my home. W-O-W-A-K-R.
56 WIS. WHBH, where your friends are. You're on the go with country music radio, Springfield, Missouri, KTTS.
Well, this little montage of radio station jingles was intended to demonstrate that they can accommodate all kinds of things, whether it be a particular kind of musical format, a theme message you're trying to get across, some kind of individuality that makes you sound above the rest of the crowd in the ethos of various radio markets, large and small. The next thing I wanted to find out from John was how radio stations develop their own unique logo.
Well, I guess you just kind of sit down at the piano and find it. Of course, yeah, a logo is the identifiable melody which is always used when you sing a particular phrase.
81 WGY.
In the case of radio stations, every time that we sing WGY, even though there may be 20 or 30 different jingles, every time that WGY is sung, it's sung to that melody you just played. And the reason for that, of course, is for familiarity, and it becomes kind of a trademark of the station. Well, there are really dozens and dozens of different logos or different melodies that can be used. In the 60s in particular, stations took a lot of pride in their logo. Everybody was really going crazy to try and outdo the station down the road, and you'd have as many different melodies as stations, almost.
You're hearing things.
WMEX 1510.
Love ya.
Greater Portland, Maine. WLOB.
Love ya.
1310.
More and more people hear more and more music on WONE Bus Radio.
Loves the best. KONO, Dial
86.
The station with the happy
difference.
CHUM 1050 Toronto.
More music on
77 WABC.
KYW Radio 11, your public servant number one.
Here's Ohio's weather news, Indiana and Kentucky too, from the friendly giant WCKY.
WFBG.
WFBG.
And so, with a musical logo, a radio station can promote itself and its market in a variety of ways, even community pride.
Get off your ass and join the team. What have you done for Altoona?
And most of the time, this is done in a very serious manner.
Buffalo comes alive with the Sabres, Braves, and Buffalo Bills. A scenic wonderland with Niagara Falls and rolling hills.
GR55.
Now good men come and good men stay to work and make this city great. And Buffalo, like the USA, has very much to celebrate.
Well, hopefully now you understand the purpose of a radio station jingle, and if you're taking this as seriously as I am, you should really take a cold shower. Anyway, before any of you drop off in sheer boredom, I thought I'd take you behind the scenes, behind the tape machine, and let you hear what it's like when a jingle becomes a jingle.
The first thing that usually happens, and this is true not only in recording jingles, but just about all types of professional recording, including albums and hit records and what have you, the first thing that happens after the initial concept is established and after the material is written is that the rhythm section comes in. That's the drums and the bass, the guitars, the piano, and so forth. And they play their part of the jingle first. A lot of people naturally assume that the whole orchestra goes in the studio, plays their little song, gets up and leaves. But it's really a lot more complicated than that, because when you're in the recording studio, you want to be able to take your time and really get the best sound out of each instrument and make sure that everybody plays their part just right. And if you have 50 pieces all at once, it's very difficult to give everybody the attention. So we start out with the rhythm section, and they lay down their part on a 16-track tape or a 24-track tape, whatever, and then they leave. So I thought what we might do here, it might be fun to show a WGY jingle being made. So the first thing that would happen is that the rhythm section would come in, and that might sound like this.
15.
Okay, now that's not very exciting by itself, but it does lay the foundation of the jingle. Now, after the rhythm section is finished, we'll get another section. Perhaps the strings will come in, and then they will listen to what the rhythm section did in earphones and play along with it, and we will record what the string players do on another track of the tape machine and add it on top of the rhythm. So after the strings came in, we might have something like this. Well, it's starting to take shape a little bit. It's a little classier now, but it's still not finished. So the next day or later that afternoon, we would have a brass section come in. And for this particular jingle, we would want them to play something soft and pretty to keep in the style of the track. So the same procedure takes place. They listen to the rhythm and the strings that have gone before them and add their part on top.
15.
And then the last thing that happens, the big finale, is that the singers come in and actually record the vocal track. And by that time, the entire track is finished, and they listen to it in headphones and sing along with it in the studio. And then the final jingle comes out and is ready to be played.
81 WGY.
But yes, indeed, these things seem to multiply and find their way to stations all over the country. Now, how does that process take place?
What we would do is take the same music track, the one that we just built up over the phone here, and write new lyrics to it and write a new melody for whatever the other station's call letters are, get the singers back in, and just as we sung it for WGY the first time, we might sing it for another radio station. Now, naturally, we don't we take into account how close these stations are to each other, because we don't want more than one station in any given area to have a certain sound, because it's not really fair to them. But that jingle that we just heard, just as an example, we did for a radio station in Denver, Colorado. The station is called KHOW, and they wanted it for their overnight program where they play a lot of soft music. And the show is called Music for Lovers, and since that's a pretty kind of a jingle, we, instead of singing 81 WGY, we sang Music for Lovers, KHOW, and it sounded like this.
Music for Lovers, KHOW.
And the thing is that you can get in the car and you can drive from one side of the country to the other, and the chances are that every new major market that you come to, if you turn on the radio, you will hear a familiar piece of music.
A friendly place, WKBW.
The big question remains, do they work? Well, in some situations, I'd have to say yes. In others, perhaps not. But I am one of those people that was struck by the jingle lightning bolt at a very young age. When I was growing up in Pennsylvania and dissecting all the information that was emanating from my radio, all the impressions and things that made me like or dislike the medium, I noticed something that really stood out. And that was effective radio advertising, like this.
I changed for good taste.
Good taste?
Mm-hmm. I changed to Winston, and I changed for good.
When I changed to Winston, I changed for good, 'cause I got good taste like I knew I would.
Winston tastes good like it should. Change to Winston and change for good.
'Cause Winston tastes good like a cigarette should.
Change to Winston and change for good. For good, rich taste every time. For up front in the tobacco end, Winston packs Filter Blend, an exclusive blend of fine tobaccos selected to give you the best taste in filter smoking. Enjoy America's best-selling, best-tasting filter cigarette by far.
Winston tastes good like it should. Change to Winston and change for good.
'Cause Winston tastes good like a cigarette should.
And that's something I think we often overlook in our industry, and that is effective advertising. We lose sight that we, the broadcaster, are an advertiser in ourselves. Our stations are something to be promoted and to be identified in the market. And what better way than through perhaps musical identification to get the point across of who we are and what we do?
Well, sure, that's the whole name of the game, not just in jingles, but in advertising in general, is just to try and come up with that unforgettable little phrase or some little tune that will stick in your mind. So, you know, as you're going down the aisle in the grocery store or when you're going out to buy something, you'll remember that such and such a place exists and maybe try them. It's all in market awareness and so forth.
Someone once said that advertising is as all-American as the apple pie syndrome, motherhood, and buying bonds. Well, I kind of have to agree with that a little bit, I guess. And as far as broadcasting is concerned, we've got to do it too. For too many years, we've allowed our sponsors and advertisers to let their message be heard above our own. So if you want your station to win, no matter what you do, whether it be jingles or anything else, put yourself on top of the heap. Promote yourself. Look for that unique and identifiable way to say, hey, we're different, and you should listen to us. And so this concludes our radio lesson on jinglery for the RRP. And remember, nobody has all the answers anyway. My thanks to John Wolfert of Jam Creative Productions of Dallas. This is Michael Neff in Schenectady, wishing you always and at all times
all the best jingles all the time.